Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a
city. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Christian Sentinel Radio Network, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And it is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, and Jackie will be with us next week. And we will be talking about Kingdom Now. You don't hear that term so much anymore like you used to hear it back in the 1990s. And it was a famous term where we could bring in the Kingdom Now. Well, it doesn't look that way, does it, in this fallen world we're living in? Obviously, but then it became the Seven Mountain Mandate, which is more or less what people talk about now. But anyway, next week we'll be doing our show on that. And so then tomorrow we have a big Super Bowl here in Florida, so everybody's excited about it. And I guess it gives people an escape from reality. The new reality that we're in with this virus that now I saw a report today where it's mutated, and it's mutated, I think, to over 600 different variants. Oh, dear. And then there was one person saying that, well, it could be around for 7 years. We just don't know, honestly. We just don't know. And I think as time goes on, we're going to see the effects on the economy of businesses closing and then people not really working, people not going to school, and the damage that it's doing to the education system. So there's a lot ahead, and there's a lot that people are going to have to face, and I don't think anybody really likes it, but it kind of reminds me of how people will accept the Antichrist, is that they'll be so devastated by what's happening around them that they're going to look to anybody to save them, except looking to Jesus, which he's the only one that can save us from the things to come. But you can see even now how people choose to believe lies instead of truth in the church world and then in the political world, and they'll grasp onto anything. The propaganda that's going on is unbelievable. It's just, you just can't believe how people lie and they don't report the truth. And we know, as far as church work, that we have the truth in God's word. So as long as we have God's word, we have the truth, and we can preach the truth, and then we can hold people accountable that don't preach the truth, because we have that absolute truth in the word of God. But when you think about political systems and how they can twist things, and they're so power hungry for power and for control. And they were saying something last week about having some kind of a ministry of truth, where the government is going to tell you what the truth is. And no, thank you. But eventually, eventually, that's probably what's going to happen as we see more censorship and things that we never thought we were going to see even a few years ago, like we're seeing now. So God help us to get through what we have to get through. But anyway, we'll be enjoying the game tomorrow and we'll see who wins, right? It's a good matchup, I think. And anybody could win this game, really. So hopefully they'll have a good weather tomorrow. But everybody's excited about it in the Tampa Bay area anyway. So the other day I was watching, flipping through the channels, and I see Huckabee. Well, I see Huckabee has a show, the former governor of Arkansas. He has a show on TBN. So I stopped to look at it. And they brought on this young man that has a company. He makes some things out of metal, I think. And I can't remember the name of the company, but anyway. And so Huckabee is saying to him, "Oh, you do everything for God and you talk about God." And he said, "Oh yeah, the universe." I'm like, "Oh, stop. That's a key word. When anybody says the universe, you know that they're flaky, because no Bible believing Christian says the universe." But anyway, I guess they don't vet people before they bring them on, because if you're going to bring somebody on and you're going to portray him as a Christian, you definitely don't want him coming out and saying, "Oh, yes, the universe." Anyway, but then they brought on, then after, there was another program that came on with Matt and Lori Crouch. And of course, Matt Crouch is the son of Jan Crouch, and supposedly Paul Crouch Sr., according to their granddaughter, Brittany Crouch. But Matt was not fathered by Paul Crouch. That was her. Anyway, that's what she said when she came out after she was fired by TBN, and there was some family conflict there. And it was alleged. Now, I'll say it was alleged because I don't know if they ever did a DNA test or whatever. But anyway, Brittany Crouch, who was the daughter of the other Crouch, said that Matt was not Paul Crouch Sr.'s son, but that his father was this Dick Dubois, who was a Mr. Universe or whatever. You could see his picture on the internet. If you look up this Dick Dubois, and it's Dubois. And Matt looks exactly like him. He's a spitting image of him. Anyway, so Matt comes on. Of course, Matt now got rid of his brother. And so it's Matt and Lori that run TBN. And according to court documents and different things that have been published, TBN itself is worth over $1 billion. They own, have vast real estate holdings. And they have television stations all over the world. They're just extremely wealthy. They have enough to run this network for the next 1,000 years, probably. And the main source of income, I would say, probably not the main source at this time, but the one of the sources of their income is selling airtime. So I know at one time their airtime was like $5,000 for a half hour. And so they earn enough money selling airtime that they don't need to raise money. They don't need to have telethons and whatever. But anyway, there is Huckabee, the former governor there, Governor Huckabee, with Matt and Lori. And they're asking people to leave them money in their will. They said, we'll take your cars, we'll take your boats, we'll take your jewelry, we'll take your stocks, and we'll send you this booklet and we'll tell you how to do it. They're not satisfied. It's like, if you have $1 billion, why do you have to ask anybody for their inheritance? You know, could you at least tell people that if you have an inheritance, if you're worth $1 billion, if you have an inheritance, give it to your children, if you like your children, or give it to some ministry that needs it. That's what happens with greed. People go crazy with greed. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. They want your jewelry, and we'll take your stocks, and you can sign your stocks over to us while you're alive, and we'll give you the dividends. So it's ridiculous. Hard to believe, but I don't put anything past these ministries at all. Or so-called ministries, I'll say, because, yikes, what kind of ministry is that where you're telling people to donate their, give you their estates when they die? Like, what are you going to do with it? What is Matt and Lori going to do with it? They're not going to give it to their, he's not going to share it with his brother, his half-brother, Paul Crouch Jr. You know he's not going to share it with him. And he's going to give it to his wife if he dies, or he's going to give it to his children. They're going to get everything. So, and then there was a story that the Catholic Church took $3 billion, $3 billion in PPP loans from the government because of the coronavirus thing, the payroll protection plan. That's another institution that must be worth $1 trillion at least. And yet they're taking government money, $3 billion they were given. It's insane. It really is. It's insane. But that's how it is when people are greedy. They just never, never, never have enough. But I saw last week or the week before last that Todd Bentley wants to come back into the ministry. Oh dear Lord, God help us with that. But I'll be playing a couple of audios from Todd Bentley, and then we're going to talk a little bit about revenge. Now, is there anybody out there that ever wanted to get revenge? Yeah, I think we've all thought about it, right? And sometimes you just have to say to yourself, I have to put myself into remembrance so I don't get into the flesh when people do things that they're not supposed to do to you. And you think, well, I can do this. And then the Lord reminds you, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So you have to control yourself so that you don't get revenge. And then sometimes it takes a long time for you to see how God handles the thing. But eventually you do see how God handles the thing. And then, of course, he handles it much better than you'll ever handle it if you get into the flesh and you want revenge. But also over January, over the last, the month of January is a big month for fundraisers for these people that want to tell you that January is the first month of the year and you have to give God a special offering in January, because if you don't give God a special offering in January, then the rest of the year might not go too good for you. They have some kind of a funny god, these people, but yet people believe it. If you look at some of these videos on the internet, and you see that the people are sending in their prayer requests and they're going up front with their first fruits offering. So I just wanted to tell Paula White, because Paula White is one of the biggest proponents of this first fruits offering thing. But Paula White, Jesus Christ did not get the memo about first fruits, because he never asked anybody for first fruits offering. So if Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, who is God, while he walked the earth, if he never asked anybody for first fruits offering, then there is no such thing in the New Testament as giving God a first fruits offering. So you're a false teacher, and anybody else that teaches this gospel of first fruits, that somehow God Almighty himself looks down from heaven and he's waiting for you while he's sitting on his throne overseeing all the events of the world. He's just sitting on his throne and he's waiting for Christians in January to bring him some money, because if you bring him his first fruits in January, then the rest of the year will go well for you. And so, can you imagine serving that kind of a God? No, that's a weird God. That's a weird God that they talk about. And that does not happen. That does not happen. So anyway, here's a couple of audios from Paula. And she even drops the hint here where she even gave 1 month. She even gave 1 month of her salary, 1 month's salary, in a first fruits offering. Now, could you believe that?
Because this has to do with everything I just taught you.
Porque eso tiene que ver con todo
the
lo que
blessings
les voy a enseñar.
And the benefits.
Las bendiciones y los beneficios.
Amen.
Amen.
So to walk in those blessings and benefits.
Para caminar en esas bendiciones y beneficios.
God's covenantal promises.
Las promesas de pacto de Dios.
Have conditions.
Tienen condiciones.
So as you honor God.
Así que mientras usted honra
with
a
Dios, his first fruit offering.
Con su ofrenda de primicia.
You say, well, Pastor Paula, what do I give?
Usted dice, Pastora Paula, ¿qué doy?
The first fruit is the whole of the first.
La primicia es lo entero de lo que es primero.
Remember, it proves.
Acuérdese que eso prueba.
The faith.
La fe.
Of the giver.
De aquel que da.
The position they hold with God.
La posición que ellos tienen con Dios.
Now, apostle.
Ahora, apóstol.
We grow in faith.
Nosotros crecemos en fe.
There are sometimes.
Hay veces.
I've honored God.
En que yo he honrado a Dios.
With a day wage.
Con el salario de un día.
There's sometimes.
Hay veces.
I brought God an entire week's salary.
Que le he traído a Dios el sueldo de toda una semana.
There have been sometimes.
Han habido veces.
I've given an entire month's salary.
Que le he dado todo el sueldo de un mes.
It's not legalistic.
No es algo legalista.
It's a heart issue.
Es un tema del corazón.
It's a heart issue.
Es un tema del corazón.
It is a prayer thing that we're going to pray right now.
Es algo de oración. Vamos a orar.
And I'm going to ask Apostle to join me as I get ready to minister to you.
Y yo le voy a pedir al apóstol que se una.
Because Jeremiah chapter 44.
Porque Jeremías 44.
He says you must.
Dice, debes.
Bring the first fruit.
Traer las primicias.
To the priest.
Al sacerdote.
To the man and the woman of God.
Al hombre y la mujer de Dios.
And one translation says they are to hold it before the Lord.
En una traducción dicen deben levantarlo ante el Señor y pronunciar.
The blessing.
La bendición.
It means the benediction.
Quiere decir la benedicción.
On your generation.
Sobre sus generaciones.
So I'm going to ask you right now.
Así que le voy a pedir ahora.
To every single person, get an envelope.
A cada persona, reciba un
sobre. I'm going to ask the ministers to come up.
Le voy a pedir que los ministros suban acá adelante.
I want you to bring not only your tithe, please hear me, but to really pray and bring a first fruit offering.
Escuche, sino ore y traiga
and when
una
you do,
de primicia, y cuando lo haga,
we're going to lift it before the Lord.
La levantaremos
and apostle
ante el Señor,
and I
el apóstol y yo,
are going
she's going to lift it before the Lord. she wants you to, now she's telling, she's such a scripture twister that she wants you to believe that she's playing the role of the priest now. And notice how she inserts in there that the priest is the man or woman of God. That's not in that scripture. It's not even there. But anyway, 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I don't think Paula got that memo either, because God doesn't have any special priesthood in the New Testament where you bring up offerings and put it in the hands of the priest and then they pronounce a benediction. That doesn't happen at all. Here's another thing that she says, that your money will be sanctified.
May I, do you have a $10 bill or something? Can I show somebody, hand me, like, or I have it in my purse? Just real quick. Thank you so much. I'll give it right back. Okay, so this in itself is not bad, okay? The love of money is the root of all evil.
El amor al dinero es la raíz de todos los males.
This is just something you get in exchange for working or selling a good. This is just money, right?
Pero esto simplemente es algo que usted da en intercambio por trabajar o por vender algo. Esto simplemente es dinero.
This does not make the kingdom of God function.
Esto no causa que el reino de Dios funcione.
This makes the world function.
Esto causa que el mundo funcione.
If I want worldly goods,
si yo quiero bienes del mundo,
if I want to buy a pair of glasses,
si quiero comprarme unos espejuelos,
I need money.
Necesito dinero.
Amen. Amen. Now this,
ahora esto,
people in church have money.
La gente en la iglesia tienen dinero.
People down partying on South Beach have money.
La gente haciendo fiesta en South Beach tienen dinero.
What is the difference between your money?
¿Cuál es la diferencia entre el dinero suyo
and a sinner's money?
Y el dinero de un pecador?
Because when you take this,
porque cuando usted toma esto,
and you present, let's say this is all you have, $20,
digamos
it's
que
everything,
es todo lo que usted tiene, es todo, $20,
and you present this to the Lord,
y usted le presenta esto al Señor,
this,
esto,
according to Malachi,
conforme a Malaquías,
has a curse on it,
tiene una maldición sobre él,
because it is in a fallen world,
porque está en un mundo
it's
caído,
part of a world system,
parte de un sistema del mundo.
So when you bring it as a first fruit to God,
así que cuando usted lo trae como primicia a Dios,
God sanctifies it,
Dios lo santifica,
he removes the curse off
le
it,
le quita la maldición,
and is no longer cursed.
Y ya no está maldecido.
Though it's still the same $20 bill.
Aunque aún es el mismo billete de 20.
This now is a blessed $20 bill.
Esto ahora es un billete de 20 bendecido.
And this.
Y esto.
I know it sounds crazy.
Yo sé que esto suena loco.
But it brings increase.
Pero trae aumento.
It brings favor.
Trae favor.
It brings glory to God. I'll show you.
Le trae gloria a Dios, se lo
muestro. God will open doors.
Dios abrirá puertas.
So let me show you all first.
Así que déjeme mostrarle todo lo primero.
So you can have your $20. Thank you. All first.
Todo lo que es primero.
Belong to the Lord.
Le pertenece al Señor.
All first.
Todo lo que es primero.
So right now.
Así que ahora mismo.
So this.
Esto
is not clean and clear, right?
No está limpio, no está claro.
Do you have a glass, a bottle of water? Show me a bottle of water, Lena.
Muéstrame una botella de.
Oh, she's got her own gospel, that girl, doesn't she? Yeah. Filthy lucre, God called money. Filthy lucre, he said. But she says, yeah, you give him first fruits offering. He sanctifies it. Yeah, he sanctifies $20 bills. And then she says, it might sound crazy. Yeah, it does. I got news for you. Paula, it sounds crazy. Yeah, it sounds crazy. It just sounds like another gimmick to get people to give you money. Anyway, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse. We're not cursed. because we don't give money to a preacher. It's ridiculous. Anyway, God doesn't get it. What is he going to do with it? I didn't know that he needed any money. We need money, but God doesn't need money. So, yeah, Paula, obviously, according to the court documents that have just been released, Paula White, in her bylaws there at the church, she's made it so she can't be fired ever. They can't fire her from the church. So she's a little dictator over there. There's no way that they can remove her as pastor unless when she dies, they can remove her. But then when she dies, that her son will be the one that will rule the roost there. So it's very convenient. Can you imagine that? That you can go to a church and no matter what the pastor says or does, they can never be removed. No. No. So she can say and do whatever she wants. But of course, God knows what she's doing. And so you can't escape from the Lord knowing all your secrets, because he does know your secrets, and be sure your sin will find you out. And so I was looking, also looking at a couple of videos from Rodney Howard Brown, and there was something.
May I? Do you have a $10 bill or something?
There was a video of one of his associate pastors. And this is this whole thing where they have these hierarchies in the church where, of course, the pastor, the head pastor is the Pope, basically. And then he's got his little associates there, and they all call each other pastor as they bow down to each other, pastor. They don't call each other by their first names, you know, God forbid. But anyway, so his associate pastor is saying, oh, he wants to thank Pastor Rodney because Pastor Rodney told them to make vows and to sow seeds and to make sure that they tithe because of this coronavirus, and that God would be guaranteed to take care of you if you would do all these things. So this is a testimony from one of Rodney Howard Brown's associate pastors I thought was interesting.
The thing that I'm so thankful for this ministry is, and I was actually just talking to a family member about this last week, that the consistency of God, you know, look at God's consistency throughout the generations. You think of Israel, that during the worst time in history, when Egypt was under the worst that it could be because of what it had done to God's people, yet God's people were perfectly looked after, perfectly provided for. Everything else in the world was going to hell in a handbasket, and over in Israel, they were having revival. And God's not going to do that, ancient Israel, and not do that for his children today. And so that's our covenant promise. He says, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And so we're a part of an everlasting covenant. And so I'm thankful because, you know, just a number of months ago, I was even with what Tim, I have to piggyback, because this year has been the best year we've ever seen. In the worst circumstances in the world, people are calling, I can't believe what's happening. And we're like, I know what's happening, but it's not happening to me. It's not happening to us. And so maybe we're just God's favorite. But, you know, Isaiah, here's what God said. He said, even before you ask, I've already heard you. Even while you're still talking about what you need, I'm going to go ahead and answer it anyway. So I have to go back a little bit because just a number of months ago, my wife and I felt it was time to move on a house. We felt like it was time to move. You know, I hear their testimony, 14 years of full-time ministry, and at that time, and had not bought a home, and you knew when it was time to buy a home, and we had been through some rough issues with a home before. It's a long story, and so, but we were right there, 14 years coming on our 15th anniversary, and we felt it's time to move on a home. And I will just tell you that the supernatural doors that opened, we literally looked at like three or four homes, and we walked onto the property. I looked at my wife, it left in her spirit. The Lord opened the door, gave us a brand new construction, 5-bedroom, 3-bath, fully loaded office, all the things that we needed to have in our home. And listen, here's the crazy thing. The moment we made, here's what's so amazing. Two times this has happened now. The moment we made the decision, even before what we didn't know how to do it, but the moment we made the decision we were going to do it, that's when everything came in. We made the decision to buy a house. We were eating lunch with a couple. We just shared with them what happened. And they said, you know, we've been praying for you to get a house. And by the time they said, we knew that when you got a house, it was time for us. And they pulled out, wrote a check for $5,000, put it in our house. And you know that from that moment, from that day, for the next 30 days, checks, $5,000, $3,000, $2,000, $1,000. I'm talking all the furniture, all the things that we needed, nothing out of my pocket, nothing that I didn't have to stress about a thing. Listen, we would walk into a store. I was so proud of my wife one day. We walked into a furniture store, and she walked, she said, I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take those two. All right, now what? I mean, it was just like, yes. And it was like, well, we didn't have to worry about where the money was coming from, because the moment we made a decision, God had already answered. So then, all of a sudden, my wife felt, and we felt that we were supposed to give what was really our biggest seed we had ever given, and that we felt the Lord told us to get a car for her mom and dad, and that they needed a second vehicle. And so in the natural, you know, we had seen some friends of ours do that, and that really encouraged us because we knew we were hearing the Lord on it. But in the natural, I didn't have the money to just go out and buy a brand new car. But, you know, I felt in my spirit we were supposed to give one of our cars away. Well, so we're believing God for the money, and so I had a watch. I didn't know what else to do. It's what I've always done. I just took the watch off. I gave it to a little Indian kid, and he took off with the watch. Do you know that? And I didn't make a big deal out of it because I just needed to sow seed. Are you with me? I knew that what I had in my hand, I could have sold it, but it wasn't enough to go buy the car. Are you with me? So, and what's amazing was,
no,
2 days later, I got done doing something, and a man walked up to me and said, the Lord told us to give you this, gave me a check for $3,000. So I thought, okay, well, we're on our way now towards buying the car. Well, I'll say this, long story short, we were right up to the hour, but Pastor Rodney had said, you know, sometimes you have to go down and actually put your feet at the edge of the river. Who's ever been there before? Like, you have to actually go down and actually put you some feet on the ground. And so we just made the decision. It was a Saturday late night. We made the decision. We're just going to give them one of our cars, which is actually what I felt to do anyway. But I needed my wife to get an agreement on that because we have only two cars. So if I give away the two car, I have one car, but we need two cars. But I just knew it was what we were supposed to do. On the way to church, not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I said, Lord, you give seed to the sower. And we've made a decision. We're sowing because we're supposed to fly to Pittsburgh. I was going to drive the car to Pittsburgh. So we get here to the church. And so I'm walking around greeting people. It's Sunday morning. It's exciting. It's the main event. And this lady that we've known for a few years walked up. And she said, hey, after service, can we talk to you? I said, sure. So service ends, and she and her husband come over. And she said, now watch this. Before you ask, I've already heard you. Before, while you're still talking about it, I've already answered you. She said, a few years ago, we bought this car. And she said, when I bought the car at the dealership, the Lord said, this is not your car. She said, this car belongs to Pastor Allen, but I'll tell you when you're supposed to give it to him. This is a few years ago. Now, they live between here and another state, so this car stays in their garage. They drive it here. So then Sunday morning, Pastor Rodney was preaching, and she all of a sudden the Lord spoke to her and said, now is the time to give the car. She walked up. Well, listen, I gave a Chevy away at 9 a.m., by 12:30, a woman walked up and handed us the key to a fully loaded supercharged Jaguar that is sitting now in my parking spot. Fully paid off, all the bells and whistles. So I was able to get in that little car that we owned, that biggest gift we could give, and drive it to Pittsburgh. And listen, it was the biggest joy on the day before Christmas with all of our family there. And my father-in-law, who needed the vehicle, to sit there as he opened up a box and he holds up the key that said, world's best papaw, because that's what all the grandkids call him. And
yeah. So just imagine, don't you feel blessed when somebody gives you something because they want something back? Oh, all of us just feel great about that, don't we? I mean, who likes to be used? Who likes somebody to do something for them because they want something back. And, oh, just imagine, he gave away a Chevy. And what was the motive of his heart when he gave away the Chevy? Well, he wanted a better car. He wanted a bigger and better car. So what happened? He got a Jaguar. Oh, dear. Oh, please. It never ends. It never ends. Really. It just never ends. Instead of saying, well, my father-in-law needed a car. We wanted to bless him just to be a blessing. No, we were believing God for another car and a better car and a house. So we needed a house, so we gave away my expensive wristwatch to somebody. And see how I got all these things? Yeah. It's a twisted version of Christianity. And God doesn't have anything to do with that kind of thing. Because usually in church settings like this, I notice he calls himself Pastor Allen. And so it's usually the pastors that get most of the blessings in the churches, because people don't really like to give to the other ministries in the church. You might be have a full-time ministry and attend the church, and most of the time nobody's really donating anything to you. They usually give the money to the pastor, because that's what they're taught, is they have to give the money to the storehouse. So they don't really think for themselves anyway, but they usually want to bless the man or the woman of God, when we're all men and women of God, and people should hear from God on their own about what God wants them to give, and they shouldn't have to be manipulated in these church settings. But I thought those things were interesting. And anyway, so here's this Todd Bentley guy, and he's been out of the ministry now. I don't even like to say he had a ministry, because this guy is really nutty, but approximately 1 year after a team of evangelical leaders declared Todd Bentley not qualified for leadership due to credible allegations of ungodly and immoral behavior, including predatory sexual activity, Fresh Fire USA leader Todd Bentley says he's now back after hearing from God. Bentley, who turned 45 last month, said as the coronavirus pandemic raged in parts of the country in the summer of 2020, he was experiencing a time of healing and restoration with angels and communing with God. Look out if you start hearing from angels. It was last summer in July, August of 2020 that I had a series of angelic encounters, visions, and personal encounters with the Lord that were absolutely life-changing. Yeah, well, the only encounter he needs is he needs to get born again, and then he wouldn't have all these issues. At the same time, Jess and I used this time to see healing and incredible restoration in our own lives and marriage. During this awesome season of almost daily personal encounters, the Lord spoke to me about my 45th birthday, which took place on January 10th. Prior to his angelic encounters, evangelical leaders, including a host of nationally syndicated Line of Fire radio program, including Michael Brown, said Bentley was unfit for ministry. Based on our careful review of numerous firsthand reports, some of them dating back to 2004, we state our theological opinion and can say with one voice that without a doubt, Todd is not qualified. No, he's not qualified. No, he's not qualified. So here he is again. He's back. He's back on the circuit, or he's trying to get on the circuit. But I noticed on his YouTube channel, he didn't even have 100 or so views on his latest posting. But some of the allegations that were leveled against him were terrible, just horrible. And here's a list of some of the things. I don't know how he got away with it, this wasn't the first time that this happened with Todd Bentley. But anyway, here's some of the allegations. That testimony of a male intern who claims that Todd offered to pay him $1,000 to allow him to commit a sex act. Oh, terrible. Testimony of a male intern who claimed Todd offered him $500. He was molesting women and supposedly using drugs. Just terrible, terrible things. Really, I mean, this man has no place in public ministry. I don't think he's going to make a comeback. There may be some people that will fall for what he has to say, but I don't think he's coming back the way he was. It was hard to believe he ever had a place in public ministry the way he did, but he did. He could pack arenas or large church venues anyway, and people would flock to him. I remember a friend of mine going to one of his meetings, and I was trying to tell her that he was false, and she said, "Oh, well, he said people were getting raised from the dead." I said, "I don't care what he says, how many people get raised from the dead, but he's a false teacher." And anyway, apparently now all these things came to light, but they came to light before. And anyway, let's listen to what he has to say about in this new video. Supposedly he's got some kind of a new online church that he's starting. Oh, dear Lord, help us, right? And here's what he says about these angelic visitations. Like an insane asylum. Could you imagine this in this video? There's a packed house here there where he's, this was years ago, of course, but there was a packed house and all the people are standing up and they're crying and they're lifting their hands up to the heavens and they're screaming while he's screaming like that. And they're all screaming. This is the kind of power that these people have over other people, which is scary, that they can actually whip up large crowds of people to start screaming about angels. And I mean, meanwhile, there's this nutty guy standing up in the front there, egging them on. Here's another one of his angel things.
Decade. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Those angels? Those are healing angels." And God spoke to me, said, "I've commissioned one. of those angels, those ministering spirits, to your ministry.
And I'll say this for all the critics out there. What are you talking about, Emma and a female angel?
Just had to say that for some people out there in heresy land.
There is no female angel directing me. What are you talking about, Emma and a female angel? There is no female angel directing me.
I'm releasing it back to where it all started in 1948. I'm releasing it back. Now, for some of you that are here, it doesn't really matter to you, all that stuff. All you care about is God's moving. And you know what? That's all that really matters. So if you're not big on prophetic, supernatural, and angels, I'm sorry. It's my testimony. But if you want to know why God's moving, I have to tell you the whole story. And if you don't believe the story, well, sorry. Why can't I just move in healing and forget talking about all that other stuff? He said, because, Todd, you got to get the people to believe in the angel. I said, God, why do I want people to believe in the angel? Isn't it about getting the people to believe in Jesus? He said, the people already believe in Jesus, but the church doesn't believe in the supernatural. The church has no problem believing in Jesus. What we don't believe in is the supernatural. We don't believe in angels. We don't believe in the prophetic. We don't believe in some of what's going on. And I'll tell you what, we need to have an awakening.
In other words, they don't really need to know about Jesus. They need to know about the angel. But he gets all upset because he says, why do people keep talking about this female angel? But I remember years ago, and I read this, and I found it again, but that was part of his testimony, is he talks about that this female angel, which of course there aren't any female angels anyway, but he talks about this female angel, Emma, and this is a quote. It says, now let me talk about an angelic experience with Emma. Twice Bob Jones asked me about this angel that was in Kansas City in 1980. Todd, have you ever seen the angel by the name of Emma? He asked me as if he expected that this angel was appearing to me. Surprised, I said, Bob, who is Emma? He told me that Emma was the angel that helped him birth and start the whole prophetic movement in Kansas City in the 1980s. Oh, well, we know that that wasn't an angel of the Lord. She was a mothering type angel that helped mature the prophetic as it broke out. Within a few weeks of Bob asking me about Emma, I was in a service in Beulah, North Dakota. In the middle of the service, I was in conversation with Ivan and another person when in walks Emma. As I stared at the angel with open eyes, the Lord said, here's Emma. I'm not kidding. She floated a couple of inches off the floor. It was almost like Catherine Kuhlman in those old videos when she wore a white dress and looked like she was gliding across the platform. Emma appeared beautiful and young, about 22 years old, but she was old at the same time. She seemed to carry the wisdom, virtue, and grace of Proverbs 31. Oh, dear. He goes on to talk about this thing gliding across the room. Yeah. But when he was confronted about it later, he said, oh, you heresy hunters and you heretic hunters, and there is no female angel. Well, you know, these so-called ministers, they lie. Lying is one of their big things. They don't tell the truth. So he lies. He lies. And he's not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what, now, interestingly enough, see, now he's coming back to, he wants to be back in public ministry. And of course, he's got to raise money, you know, he's got to start raising money. So this is his recent gimmick here for raising some money.
Again with Elijah, and his story was very similar, but it was the small bin of flour that did not run dry.
And you look at what Elijah the prophet had the widow and her son do first before they ate their last meal and died. The prophet Elijah was like, give me something to eat first. Be sure to take care of me, and I'll be sure to make sure there's a supply in your life. I believe that's a principle too. God may lead you to give, to tithe, to a particular church or ministry, partner with a particular ministry. It could be a man of God, could be a woman of God. Different seasons, you're led to have different seeds or different partnership or different types of giving or partnership. But, you know, that's what Elijah said. Hey, partner with me. If you'll make me a cake first, and be sure to remember that if you honor the prophet, the name of the prophet, and take ministry in the word that I'm bringing to you, then you'll have no lack. Your bin of flour will not run dry. That's what Elijah said. Your bin of flour will not run dry. I can speak and prophesy to your wallet, to your business, to your finances, to your bank account, and I do. I say in the name of Jesus, your supply shall not run dry. That little meal, the widow was going to, son was going to eat it. They were going to die. Elijah said, make it for me first. Give it to the prophet first. Serve the word of the Lord coming to you first, and give something of value that you have in your house, and all you have left is this one little jar of oil, and you're afraid you're going to die. Well, give it to me first. Doesn't make sense. It's contrary to everything that we think about. Why wouldn't you be bringing groceries to the poor? And the prophet shows up and goes, I got something better than just bringing you groceries or giving you a check. I'm going to give you a word that will cause your bin of flour to not run dry. And that's where I believe spirit-led sowing, spirit-led giving. Again, I always have an opportunity for people to sow and plant seed. If you've got a revelation about seed time and harvest and giving, and you want to honor the Lord today and sow into today's message even, and you're giving maybe your tithe and your offering anyways, pray over it when you give today on Secret Place Church, when you give today on our website. Maybe you're giving today and you're using PayPal. Or find a way to sow a seed, and let me prophesy that your bin of flour shall not run dry. See, that's another way we tap into the multiplied oil, you know, that there can be men and women or ministries God calls you alongside of, and you're giving them life, you're giving them ministry, and in return, you're going to eat that meal, and their whole house is going to eat that meal, and they're not going to run out of supply, they're not going to run out of flour, they're not going to run out of money, because she chose to obey and hear and receive the ministry of the Word of God first. And that's another principle in receiving the extra oil. Consider that in your giving today, and I am going to ask you to give today on revivalharvestministries.org. I'd ask you to go to our website and sow a first fruit seed, launch us back out. This is more than a comeback, and be a part of the new thing that's happening. Plant a seed. It could be $10. It could be $100. Whatever the Lord says. If you want to give on PayPal, you can. We have a PayPal as well, but all the links are going to be in the giving section. Go to our website, revivalharvestministries.org. Yes, you can give on freshfireusa.com, and many of your partners on how to give anyways, but thank you for your spirit-led giving today after the broadcast. And I do have a PayPal if you want to give. I don't receive a money, or I don't receive an honorarium for doing these messages. If you want to sow a seed, you can. PayPal.me is my PayPal, PayPal/Todd Bentley. Thank you. I'll pray over every gift, over every seed. But let's continue here. I want to pray over you guys. I want to pray over you guys here.
No, please.
I hope you go back and there's a lot of stuff I dropped in this message, and I'll upload it to Supernatural Living Messages on iTunes. Sign up for free on iTunes and be sure to get my weekly podcast.
Yeah, I think you've got the wrong calling. I think you should be a comedian. Oh dear, he's gonna just send him a seed offering, and he'll pray over your offer, and he's gonna prophesy to your wallet. Oh dear, and he hasn't taken anything. See, he preached that whole message over there for his Secret Place Church, and he didn't even ask for an honorarium. Imagine that. Imagine that. He took the time out of his day to preach a sermon, and he didn't even ask for an honorarium. So, I mean, look, where is he going to get a job, this guy? What kind of a job is he going to get? So he knows that he can take advantage of hurting people, and that's basically what he's doing, is he's trying to resurrect himself. He's never going to have the kind of thing that he had going. Nobody's going to be inviting him. Some fool might invite him, but he's not getting any big invitations to go ministering. And he doesn't this man does not need to be in any kind of public ministry at all. He should get some kind of a job and earn an honest living and learn what it's like to earn an honest living besides being a con artist. He's good at it. He's good at being a con artist. So he knows that this is his way to earn a living where he doesn't have to go out and earn an honest living and be a person of integrity. If you want God's blessing, you have to be a person of integrity. You can give all the money you want. You can give away millions of dollars. That doesn't mean that God's going to bless you back, because if you don't have integrity and do things for the right reasons and you're not honest, God's not going to bless that mess. He can't. He can't bless that mess. No. He could brag all he wants about all the supernatural power he has, but he doesn't have any power with God. God doesn't honor that kind of thing. And he'll never honor that kind of thing. No. God, the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's just the way it goes. So, but there's so many of these people out there. There's so many of them, and they get rich off the sorrow and off of people that are desperate for help. And of course, in the days ahead, there's going to be more and more people that are desperate, especially with the whole situation that's happening with the government. It gets crazier by the day to think about what's happening to our country, and it's happening so fast that there's going to be so many more desperate people. And then there'll be these wolves that will come and shear these sheep over by promising them things that they can't deliver on. You can't promise anybody that they're never going to have a financial problem for the rest of their life just because they give an offering. You can't promise people that. You just don't know what's going to happen. Who thought a year ago that most of these business people that had restaurants and airlines and hotels and things, who thought that they were going to shut all these businesses down? And then most of these businesses wouldn't even exist anymore. Most people never thought that these kind of things would happen to them, where they couldn't pay their rent and they can't make their payments. So people have been devastated. And then you have these wolves coming around and doing these kind of things to people and doing it in the name of Jesus. That's the most despicable thing, because Jesus would never treat people like that. And he doesn't expect Christians, and especially ministers, to treat people like that either. We have to learn how to trust God to meet our needs. And we don't have to tell anybody anything about your finances. You need to tell God. He can help you. He can help you. Only he can help you. Ultimately, only he can help you. People can help you, and they do. There are many wonderful brothers and sisters that in the Lord that we have. God bless the body of Christ. But ultimately, we have to trust God like we never have before, because we just don't know. We really don't know what's ahead. But he'll see us through. He will see us through. Let's just go over a couple scriptures here. I wanted to just spend a little bit of time talking about this revenge thing, because I know even in my own life, and I had a situation not too long ago where I had to move, and I didn't really want to move. I didn't want to move, but I had to move, and I had to move out of a place that I lived in for 20 years, which I didn't want to. But God in his infinite wisdom and his infinite mercy, he made all things right, and he put me in a better place. But I had to go through some things, and I had to remind myself that there was nothing I could do about the situation in the natural, that I had to trust God and not to try to fight back in some ways. You know, you can't get in the flesh over situations. You just have to trust God. And sometimes God rocks your boat and he puts you in an uncomfortable position where I'm thinking to myself, like, why is God rocking my boat like this? And I didn't like it, but I could see now that everything worked out okay. Everything worked out for my good, and God saw me through it and he blessed me. And so, but sometimes when we go through situations and people do things to us, you want to fight back, and you're thinking to yourself, like, what can I do in the natural, you know, to make the situation right? Or you have crazy relatives. Everybody's got crazy relatives, right? And so you have crazy relatives that do things to you, or you have an ex-husband that did something to you, or you had an ex-wife that did something to you, or you had a child that did something to you, or you had a brother or a sister or a cousin or somebody that did something horrible to you. And you're thinking to yourself, what can I do to get back at that person? And you can't. You know, you just can't. You can't. You just have to move on. You have to forgive the person and move on with your life. You see these stories on television where people get revenge. They get revenge. I was watching this story last night about this basketball player, Lorenz, I can't remember his whole name, Lorenzo or Lorenz, and he was a big famous basketball player, and he was married to this lady, and they had 6 children, and they wound up getting divorced because they were both cheating on each other, and she wanted revenge on this guy for some reason, so she seduces him to come back to visit her, and then she takes him in a car and takes him out to a field, and she had people there to shoot him, and they shot him dead. And it was just for revenge. It was just for revenge. And revenge is so horrible that here's now the children, you leave behind 6 children that don't have a father now, and their mother is in prison for killing their father. So imagine living with that kind of a thing. So whatever you're going through, don't get revenge. Don't do things, especially when people are getting divorces and there's children involved. Oh, the things people do to each other, they don't even think about the poor kids that they're fighting over and what they're doing to the children, because they want revenge. And they go to these divorce attorneys, which they could care less about putting the family back together or trying to get the husband and the wife to act civilly or to be civil with each other. So God says, Romans 12, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Matthew 5:43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Oh, yeah. Luke 6:31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Proverbs 20:22, say thou not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Oh, I like that much better, don't you? I like that much better. I like when the Lord saves me. I like when he saves me. Here's a couple other scriptures about revenge. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Proverbs 24:29, say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. We've all said that. I know. We've all said that. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as myself. I am the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. God has so much wisdom. James 1:19-20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. So, that's the good word for today. I wanted to play this scripture here, Romans 12. Let's listen to Romans 12 here.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without simulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, tributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Amen and amen. So that's the good word for today. And God's word is wonderful, isn't it? It just ministers to us, and God will get us through these times that we're in. I like to say it's like the twilight zone, you know. It's like we're living in the twilight zone. And I don't know how people do it without God. You can see how crazy people act when they don't have the Lord. They don't have any moral compass. And it's becoming more and more evident as the day approaches for the Lord's return. But be encouraged, saints. We're going to get through this somehow, some way. We know the earth is not our home, which is becoming more and more obvious every day as we're living in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So, but don't forget the most important thing is to share Jesus Christ with people. That there's hope in Christ. There's no other hope. There's no other way to have joy and to have peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. People can promise you peace, and these politicians, they can promise you peace, but they can't deliver. The only person that can give you peace is Jesus Christ. The only person that can deliver you from drug addiction or from alcoholism or from murderous thoughts or from suicide or for any of those things is Jesus Christ. He can deliver you, he can save you, and he can set you free. So give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we all need God's help. All of us do, from the lowest to the highest. We have to cry out for mercy, and we have to stand on truth, and especially in these wicked, evil days that we're living in. We have the truth, and we can tell people what the truth is that this earth is not our home, but when you leave this earth, you can have a promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ, and knowing that your sins are forgiven, and he can give you peace in the midst of a storm. So God bless you all today. Thank you, everybody that's in the chat room today, and all my listeners around the world. Hello, a special hello to the listeners in South Africa and Canada, Australia, and United Kingdom. Thank you all for tuning in, and God bless you. Stay blessed and stay safe in the Lord, okay? Bye-bye.